All right, I think everybody is aware that Ed is speaking this morning and needs no introduction, obviously.
So in order for time's sake, I'm going to start. To the chief musician upon Mehalath, the psalm of David, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee I will pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For not thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell within thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into the house of the multitude of thy mercy, and thy fear will I worship thy toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest of them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt encompass him as with a shield. Amen. That is what is known as an imprecatory prayer. Okay, imprecatory means to curse or to call down, but an imprecatory song or imprecatory prayer in the Old and New Testament is to call God to do what he said he's going to do in righteousness and in judgment. Okay, I hope I'll get into this a little more. I also wanted to mention Paul, I think it's 1 Timothy 2:1 says, in all prayer, supplication, petition with thanksgiving, pray for men. Okay. And the interesting thing about those first three, look it up in either Esord or Strong's, they're three different words. They may be similar, but they're actually three different words: prayer, petition, and supplication. Supplication in some of the older versions actually could be called pleading, just like the Holy Spirit groans for us. So in our prayer, in some prayers, we're supposed to plead with God based on his scriptures, basically, for our loved ones, for our country, whatever. The other thing about prayer is, back in 2002, the Lord gave me a hymn while driving down Atlantic Avenue at 2 a.m. I've mentioned this before. I was on a truck. My wife was sitting asleep next to me. We were heading for the island out there, whatever that's called. And here comes this hymn. And the first verse says, I pray for God's glory. I pray to that end. Because of his mercy, his son he did send. He came for God's glory and shed his own blood. And I forgot the rest. This is what you can know. But anyway, the point is, there are prayers in everything that we do. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Everybody remember that? Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you eat, do all to the glory of God. So that's the idea of this imprecatory prayer, even if you have, you know, qualms about it. How did I get here? Why am I talking about this? Over a month ago or so, we have a men's group. They meet on Tuesday. And I had just heard Vody Bachman praying in an imprecatory prayer after a talk about what our government is doing. And I just thought it made sense. Sounded good. Okay. So at the end of this, at the prayer request, I asked the guys, I said, there's this imprecatory prayer that I heard Vody Bachman preach. I said, I'd like to ask for us to pray that. And it's the prayer is, Lord, change their hearts or stop them. And I don't, maybe he meant wipe them out, maybe he said remove them. I don't know what the stop them meant, okay? But in faith, some good Christian men said, well, we can't do that. God tells us to love our enemies, okay? And I took that in and I said, okay, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I just said that because one of my favorite pastors said it and I'm, you know, regurgitating what he said. And so I took off on a journey and I said, the best way to do that is to make myself talk here about it, because then I'd really have to research it. In doing all of this stuff, I found out I have 16 sermons on imprecatory prayer. But I have 20 minutes here, so we may have to skip a lot. Okay, and I do want to say that I was saying this in regards to our government's current and past administrations with the same ideologies. I am upset over the ideologies of our current government, and it goes back a long way. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. And I want to say something, okay? Agree or not agree, I got to get this off my chest. Okay, now turn to Proverbs 6. And we're going to do verses 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, what is the law of our land? Yeah, number one, I don't know that God can forgive us for allowing abortion. But I'm, at this point, I'm agreeing, and I'm just going to mention, I listened to this sermon by John MacArthur, and he basically said, this country's done. He said, we're under judgment. And he went into Romans 1. And basically, if you remember, in the middle of Romans 1, it talks about lust, sexual revolution, it talks about homosexuality, it talks about a reprobate mind. He says, look what's going on, especially since the 60s. He said, we had the sexual revolution. We now have protection for homosexuality and gay marriage. And he said, we've got this woke stuff going on where everything's in play. Men are women, women are men. He said, we're calling evil good and good evil. He said, if this is in judgment of God, where he says, he lets us go, okay? So in his opinion, God has, quote, I don't, that's not the words he said, gave them up, okay? He gave them up to these things. In other words, I'm gonna back away and give you what you want. And that's what we're looking at. So, okay, I did mention removing masculine and feminine pronoun names. And also a dramatic move towards Marxism, communism, through Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, intersectionality, and I'll say it using the, whether you like it or not, the virus, the vaccine, and other fear-mongering methods, i.e. global warming, racism, bountifully sprinkled with lies. If government strives to be our highest authority, they're purposely saying they are God, because there's no higher authority. So this is what I think is going on. I think they're coming against not only us, I think they're coming against God. And this is where imprecatory prayer comes in. I'm going to quote Francis. Everybody know who Francis Schaeffer was? La Abrea. Since tyranny is satanic, not to resist it is to resist God. Let me repeat that. Since tyranny is satanic, not to resist it is to resist God. You can read anything you like about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his fight against the Germans. Now, he took it, a lot of people said, one step too far when he got involved in the assassination of Hitler and lost his life for it. Theologians agree and disagree on how far he took it, believe it or not. All right, now I'm going to go into other sources of Christian resistance. Number one, Christian resistance is not vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will say, saith the Lord. We can resist, and we should resist in a Christian manner unto death, okay? If it costs us our lives, because that's what we said we would do. This is a book you can get. I was going to buy it for all of you, but I said, no, if they're really interested, they'll buy it for themselves. It's only $3.50, okay? It's a resistance to tyrants. Romans 13 and the Christian duty to oppose wicked rulers. I went into this because many pastors and pastors I love just take Romans 13 and say, no, we're just supposed to obey the government authority, period. That's what it says. And I don't know, for some reason that didn't hit me that right. So I started looking into what happened historically. What about our revolution? Did these guys look into resistance of tyranny? And if you want to go back and look at their documents, you'll find out there were many Christians and their resistance was in regards to tyranny in the Bible. Okay. They had a just cause. They weren't just rebels going against an English government. You can go all the way back. I went all the way back, and there's a fancy title in here. I don't know if I can pronounce it. I'm going through this. I gotta get to the back of this thing. Judiciae contra a tyrannos, a defense of liberty biblically. This goes back, this is a book I'm going through. It's a difficult book. It talks about the French Huguenots, the Christians that were basically resisting the French king when he was killing them because they were getting away from Catholicism. Okay, there was that one. Forgive me, this thing is slower than I ever like. If you want a copy of this, I'll give you the website for it. Weighing Obedience and Resistance, What is Romans 13? What Romans 13 does and does not inform about governing authorities. Just more information. I gave you that other one already. Let's see if I can get the other ones up. I'm going to get to the end of this book eventually, and the prayer at the end. But Slaying Leviathan is one of the more current books on government resistance. Okay. Wayne, I think you know about the lies. I mean, I wasn't a very political guy, and I don't think this is so much political as it's a coup and a takeover. I really don't. It goes back for me before, a little bit before Trump, I started hearing the lies, and it just didn't sit right. And I wasn't very political, and I didn't pay much attention. I was like everybody else. I voted by who I liked and who I didn't like. Okay. And then Trump came along, and I'll admit, the first time I didn't like the guy. And I thought it was coarse and boastful, and I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for her either. I voted a writing. Second time around, I voted for Trump because of what he did, not who he was. Okay. And Doug Wilson has a wonderful saying. He said, I'm a conservative and vote Republican. Okay. This is Doug Wilson. You guys could do whatever you want. He said, the Democrats and Republicans are both corrupt. Okay. And I'm in the trunk of the car. And what I know for sure is the Democrats are going to take me over the cliff faster. So I want time to get out of the trunk. That's the way he put it. Okay. So we know that there were lies in the election. How do I know that? I know that I don't have to go back to any of the things that are going on. I can go back for two reasons. In Pennsylvania and in Georgia, and it was admitted, it's out there, and people aren't saying anything about it. The courts overruled the legislature illegally against the law to get that count the way they wanted it. Okay? It was illegal against their constitution, and it was illegal against the federal constitution in both those states. Just on those facts alone, I can say that election is a fraud. Period. Now, throw in a bunch of other, and then of course they said there's no evidence. I'm going, what? I mean, our courts wouldn't listen to this, what they had. They said there was no evidence. That's what kept being putting out. They said, no, they just won't listen to what they got. They wouldn't allow it. So that was going on. Here's the scary part for you and me, guys. Real world data shows most of the infected are fully vaccinated. Okay. Just, I'm gonna give you a warning and take heed. On August 1st, 2021, the director of Israel's Public Health Service, Dr. Sharon Aloy-Priest, announced half of all COVID-19 infections were among the fully vaccinated. Signs of more serious disease among fully vaccinated are also emerging, she said, particularly in those who are over age of 60. A few days later, August 5th, Dr. Kobi Haviv, director of the Herzog Hospital in Jerusalem, appeared on Channel 13 News reporting that 95% of severely ill COVID-19 patients are fully vaccinated, and they make up 85 to 90% of COVID-related hospitalizations overall. As of August 2nd, 69.9% of Israelis have received at least one dose of Pfizer's injection, which is used exclusively in Israel. 62% have received two doses. In Scotland, official data on hospitalizations and deaths show 87% of those who have died from COVID-19 in the third wave began in early July were vaccinated. A CDC investigation of an outbreak in Barnstable County, Massachusetts between July 6th through July 25th found 74% of those who received a diagnosis of COVID-19 and 80% of hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated. Most, not all, had the Delta variant of the virus. I can go on and on. I'm gonna reference a guy by the name of Dr. Peter McCullough. I'll give you a website for him. Amongst others, he's just one of a plethora of doctors who finally said enough. And he's testified before Congress, and he's testified before the House and Senate in Texas. And some of the stuff he said helped me because my family's affected about me not being vaccinated and everybody else is. So there's this going on. And what he said, and again, I'll go to the site. I think it's, anyway, I'll look it up or ask me afterwards. There's plenty of sites out there. Life Size News is the site that I go to. It's from Canada. It's a Catholic site. And they're reporting on the atrocity. It's worse up in Canada. They're arresting pastors for holding services outside. I think this happened yesterday. Our black pastor was arrested having service outside. Is either last Sunday, I don't know what they were doing. But this was just rat. Who's the head of Canada, is it Trudeau? Okay, he just had a big party where nobody wore masks, okay? And the next day this helicopter flies in and a bunch of police come in, they arrest this pastor. Did you guys hear about the big party Obama had? Did you notice if any of them were wearing masks? Okay, there's two different things here. There's for the elites and for us guys. All right, and we need to get these lies out there. Okay.
What was that website you
said? LifeSiteNews.com. Yeah, AFL-CD, American Frontline Doctors, were the first that came out, you know, in opposition to most of what was being reported by the CDC. And they were bashed, put down, canceled, taken off the air. And now we have international doctors of incredible standings coming in and affirming AFL-CD's initial information. And it's getting out there. And we need to get, what I'm going to get to is the way we resist is we get this information out. We share it, even if it splits people up. You got to get this information out. That's the resistance we're talking about. That's what I'm doing today. Hopefully you guys will share this, get these books, buy them for your family, whatever. And again, did you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah. One example of real resistance is Sturgis.
Sturgis. I'm glad. Thanks for bringing some humor into a really nasty talk. Okay.
Watch Fox.
Yeah. Well, there's better sites than Fox, believe it or not, except I like Mark Levin. I'm going to quote him right now. To quote or share Mark Levin's book, we are moving in the direction of what he calls American Marxism. Marxism is an atheistic idolatry. There are multiple sources that are trying to get truth to the world, and you can find it if you want to. You know, you can dig it out. In the end, all truth is God's truth, which leads to him who is the truth and his gospel. In history, in historic times, if you watch where people were persecuted, the people of God were persecuted, they flourished. Okay. The Israelites grew when the Egyptians persecuted them. So the more we're persecuted, the more we turn to the Lord, and the more we should be sharing the gospel.
Amen.
All right? Because in truth, God has got to turn it around. As John MacArthur said, human activity, if God is judging us, human activity won't correct it. We cannot undo what God has done, but we can ask him to. Okay? Most of them precatory prayers are on the Psalms, but not all. However, because of their harsh stance, many would have the Old Testament disregarded and believe Jesus just taught about love. Love, love, love. I actually had a friend I tried to talk to this about, and he's a good buddy, and I love the guy. I've known him for years, but he's on the total on the love side. Everything's love. Because I mentioned to him, one of the pastors, Alan Korns, said, we are to love our enemies, but not love God's enemies. He made a distinction, which I found really interesting. And then he said, just for example, if you want to take it to the nth degree, is Satan God's enemy? Are we to love Satan or any of his minions? Okay, so there's a distinction. Jesus quote on the road to Emmaus. Well, I'm going to say, I would like to remind people that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the God of the Old Testament, and he's the incarnate God of the New Testament. So anything that is written by the prophets that we have in the Old Testament has Jesus' stamp of approval on it, i.e. in precatory prayers. Okay? And we cannot separate the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's not let anybody have us go there. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Okay? And if you read the New Testament, and then you really dig into the Old Testament, you see everything he's saying in the New Testament is from the Old Testament. Okay? On the road to Emmaus, he called those two disciples foolish and slow of heart. He said, because you search the scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. And he says, they speak of me. Okay. So rather than plagiarize much of what I've learned, which I've already done, I was just going to share some of the information, and you can pick up on this because I got four different pastors and what they say about this. I like Sam Storms. Anybody ever hear of Sam Storms? He's an Oklahoma pastor. He's on the board of John Piper's church. Well, one of the reasons I like him, but he's very honest. Here's how he presents himself. He's an all-millennial, Calvinistic, charismatic, credo-Baptist, complementarian, Christian hedonist who loves his wife for 44 years. His three daughters, his four grandchildren, books, baseball, movies, and et cetera. And he gets his qualification. He's been the pastor for since 2008 of Bridgeway Church in Oklahoma. He's on the board of directors of both Desiring God and Bethlehem College and Seminary, and also serves as a member of the Council of the Gospel Coalition. Sam is president-elect of the Evangelical Theological Society. So he has some credentials, whether you want to listen to him or not. So I'll go back into some of the stuff because I got a blank today and I didn't get to write down the scripture. So if somebody remembers the scripture I'm quoting, give it to us, okay? He says, as we should remember that Deuteronomy 27:28, Levites pronounce imprecations against Israel if she proves unfaithful to the covenant. Israel, in accepting the law, brought herself under its sanctions. Sin, and she, in essence, pronounced curses upon herself should she break the covenant. Here's the first. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. Remember, we just read that, Psalms 5:10. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed to devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause, they hid their net from me. I can go on and on and on. There's 21 imprecatory psalms besides other imprecations in the New Testament and the Old Testament. If people don't think, I don't know if it's an oxymoron or something we just can't figure out. Paul, and after Romans 13, is it 12, 13, he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Right after that, in one of the epistles, he said, anyone that doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ be accursed. Right after, he just said, don't pray for those that persecute you. He turns around and says, may those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ be accursed. Do you remember what he says about false gospel preachers? If anyone preaches another gospel, which is not a gospel, let him be accursed. Okay? We pray a precatory prayers partially, and we don't even know it. Okay? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's a partial imprecation. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's going to happen when his kingdom comes? It's called judgment. Read what it looks like in Revelations. Okay? What do the elders under the altar say in Revelations? What are they? Yeah, what are they? Are they not praying imprecations? I'm getting dry. Okay. I want to back up because what I want to say is on the site, Peter McCullough goes into the fact is if you've been vaccinated, okay, and he goes into a lot of detail saying the vaccinations, and I'm not scientific, the spike proteins, he said, these are what are causing the variants, okay, because of the type of vaccine that they're using or proposing as a vaccine. And he actually proposed right now that we have 5 variants out there because of the vaccine. Okay. So he said, you could, as I read, you could still get the virus, all right, especially the Delta virus, which supposedly is now downgraded and is mild. He said, but don't let it go. If you're vaccinated and you get fever and that, he said, go on a protocol. You know, go to a doctor that will help you way before you get to the hospital. Because one of the things he came down on the doctors about was they were not giving any people anything to do. They just said, go home and take aspirin. All right. And by the time they were sick and got to the hospital, they were dead. 95% of the people that waited that long were dead. And he said, we had protocols way back when, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, there were some others in there. And he said, they certainly could have been used. He said, and anybody that gets it now, you can go on that protocol. You can do it as a prophylactic, or you can do it, you know, as a cure. They've cured, if not hundreds, thousands of people that were late stages of COVID with those protocols. And I've listened to a half a dozen doctors confess this, different doctors in different parts of the countries, okay? All I'm saying is we're being lied to. We're not getting the information. You can't listen to the CDC. There's a whistleblower out there. I don't know if you know this. You can actually go to VARS and see that they're reporting over 11,000 deaths from the vaccine, CDC, okay? And there's a whistleblower out there that signed a statement. He doesn't want to put his name out there for fear. He said they're closer to 45,000 deaths. Believe who you want. Okay. What I do know is we're being lied to. It's an abomination. So my time's up. In other words, I've got a lot more of this. There's from Table Talk. This is from, what's this from? Anyway, there's 22 reasons to pray imprecatory prayers. Okay, I don't have the time to go after them. So the bottom line for me after my experience and my looking into this stuff is this. I agree with Rudy Bachman. And I'm praying a prayer. Lord, change their hearts or stop them. First and foremost, I want people to repent. I want my family to repent. They're in trouble because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we take that verse literally, they're doomed. Okay? They're actually cursed. So my supplications and my dealings with them are pleadings. Okay? Because I don't know how long we're going to be around. All right? Give me a minute because I want to pray, or I'm going to share something that Ben Franklin said while the Constitution was being written. Where is it? It's a back of slain. If you want to read the whole thing, it's a back of slain Leviathan. If I can find, there we go. I wish I was faster at this. I just am not. And I don't know if it'll get up there. You know what? Oh, here it is. Okay. As most people know, Ben Franklin wasn't our most devout Christian apologist. Okay. Listen to this. He's talking to President Washington. Mr. President, the small progress we had made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continual reasoning with each other, our different sentiment on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as ayes, is methinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom. Since we have been running about in a search of it, we have gone back into ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics, which having been formed with all the seeds of their own dissolution, now no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to eliminate our understandings? In the beginning of the combat with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who engaged in the struggle must have observed the frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the menu, on the means of establishing our future natural felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire on the rise cannot stand. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writing that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political buckling no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from the unfortunate instant, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be regarded to officiate in that service. This guy quotes afterwards, "We may be trying to establish a new country, but we are fighting a reborn Leviathan."
Wow.
Let's pray. And I'm going to pray an imprecatory, partial imprecatory prayer. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.